Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Psalm 43. Psalm 43. Hang on, I had to find my water bottle. Folks, I tried to get things cleared off around the building this morning. I'm sorry, they are clearing it, so it should be better on your way out than it was on your way in. They were working in our section of the parking lot out here during just at the end of Sunday school and before church started, so it'll be better out there for you. I did what I could. Psalm 43, and we're going to read verses, Psalm 43, verses 1 through 5, and let's read responsively. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me unto thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O God, my God. And let's finish under verse 5 together. Ready? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. And let's pray. Father, we need you today. I sure do want to be a blessing to your people. Lord, I don't understand why sometimes events happen and people aren't able to be here. Lord, I understand that they do happen. Lord, for some reason, you wanted this crowd to hear this sermon on this day. And Lord, I'm sure of it, as sure as I can be. And as the day progressed, I understood that it's the day itself is the illustration of the sermon. So I pray that you'd help us, please. Give us what you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I need you to think with me. And this is going to be asking a lot. I need your minds. Actually, it's not asking very much. I need you to think with me today, because I'm going to preach something to you. It's more of a teach, but I'm going to preach it too. From the children up, you're going to be able to understand this. It's not a complex sermon, but I need your ability to think with me on this. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. Joy and happiness are not the same thing. You see, happiness has the base word happen. Happiness is the happenings around you. Happiness is based on external circumstances. Some of you like the snow, so you're happy for the snow. Some of us don't like the snow, and we're not happy for the snow. Some of us like deer hunting and enjoy blood and guts. Amen? Some of you don't enjoy that. Those are happenings. Some of you enjoy cooking your steak till it like shoe leather. Some of us like it to where you just knock it off the hoof and run it over a candle a couple times and it's ready to go down the hatch. Now, those are all external things. You can't control all of the things that come to you in life. Those circumstances that come determine your happiness. When the news comes, someone has cancer. When the news comes that someone has passed away. When the news comes that a small child had convulsions and seizures. When the news comes that this person has this problem. When the news comes, Miss Wally sends me that she's on her way to the ER right now. Hey, I get those things. Those are happenings. I can't control any of those things. So happiness is based on the circumstances going on around you. Everybody understand that? Now, what is joy? joy is exceeding gladness. It literally means to jump up and down. How many of you ever heard someone say, I'm jumping up and down with joy? Okay, that is exactly what the definition of joy is. It is to be so excited about something. It also means, let me say it this way. Joy is never associated with positive events. Joy is not joy until you're faced with opposition or negative. It is the ability to stay exceedingly glad, to jump up and down with gladness in spite of opposition. Joy cannot be joy without opposition. If there is no opposition, it's only happiness. It is not joy until you have opposition. Many preachers today, let me rephrase that. Many preachers that have a backbone and kept the church open today have to have joy. The ones that are sitting at home watching the TV and stayed in bed so that they didn't have to come to church, they're grumbling because they don't have joy. Everybody understand that? Folks, you're looking at somebody that hates snow, but I have joy. I started shoveling snow at about 4:05 this morning. Do you think I wanted to get up at 4:00 and go out and shovel snow this morning? Nobody in their right mind wants to do that. And why people like snow? It's a dirty four-letter word. I don't like it. If it could snow at 80 degrees, let's do it. But past that, forget it. I hate this stuff, but I decided this morning I won't let it rob my joy. Man, I'm as excited as I can be. I've had 3 cups of coffee, and I'm ready to fly. Now, wait a minute. Joy is not associated with positive events. Joy is not based on circumstances or happenings. Joy is based on the character of the person. The Bible says it's finding exceeding gladness inside of you, no matter the circumstances going on. Happiness is based on the happenings around you. Joy is based on what you are, no matter what's going on around you. Preacher, how are you always so positive? How are you so always upbeat? Because I have joy. Too many Christians want to be happy and they don't want to have joy. Too many people just want everything to go their way. They want all the events of life to be happy. Puppy dogs and flowers and butterflies and everything's all good. Good God, good devil. No, it's not. Joy comes because of opposition, not because everything is good. You see, you cannot know that you have joy until the circumstances go against you. The test of happiness or joy is the opposition of the circumstances around it. I want you to realize it's impossible to think that just because you're a saved sinner, that everything should go right. We have listened to the charismatics and the tongue waggers and the faith healers too long. We have allowed bad doctrine to enter into churches and into Baptist and enter into biblical Christianity. If something's going wrong, it doesn't mean it's a judgment of God. By the way, God doesn't send those negative things. That is a result of sin. That is a reason. Job did not get tried by God. He got tried by the devil. God allowed Satan to do things because Job is a sinner, and he said, prove him. But God didn't send judgment on him. The old dad Eliphaz and Elihu did. His three friends are just like you. Well, you must not be right with God because all these bad things are happening. Sounds like a bunch of Baptists today.
Well, I just don't understand why God would do this to you. You must not be right. I wonder if you're even saved. Who made you God to decide that anyway? Amen. Matter of fact, God said there's not a more just or upright man in the whole earth. And look what happened to him. And you want to complain that you stubbed your toe? Sorry. Let me put it down to where we live. Baptists have become Christian humanists. If you think that no bad, no hurt, no pain, no negative should come to a Christian, you are a Christian humanist. You're playing God. Everybody doing all right?
Right.
Let's put it down right where we live. You want to get mad at the evolutionist? Well, you're a Christian humanist. It's either your way or God's not fair. You see, a Christian is but a saved sinner, but we're still sinners. I want you to not just to understand joy, I want you to live with joy as a part of your life for the rest of your life. Did you know you don't have to walk around sucking the dirt off the carpet with your lower lip all the time?
Amen.
You don't have to look like you sucked pickle juice for breakfast this morning. You see, joy is not based on the circumstance. It's based on what you are by character on the inside. It doesn't matter what negative is going on around you. You can still have joy. Joy is not looking at the present circumstance. Joy is looking at the constant or the eternal during the temporary. Every week of my life, I get news. Somebody has cancer, somebody's dying, somebody died. There's been one week in the last 3.5-4 years that I have not gotten news about somebody that died. Most of you couldn't handle that. Can I tell you why? Because you have no joy, you just have happiness. I got word yesterday morning. I preached in a church in a distant state up in Maine. Brother Drulliard texted me yesterday. He said, Brother Bush, do you remember so-and-so? I said, yes, sir. I said, a couple weeks ago, you told me they had real bad cancer. He said, she just went to heaven this morning. And I said, well, praise the Lord. Thank God for a place called heaven. I said, I'm so sorry that it's happened to you, and I'm sorry for your church, but thank God for a place called heaven. He said, that's why I texted you. I knew you could help get me out of this. He said, I lost my joy for a moment, and I need you to pick me up. He said, you just kicked me in the backside. I'm ready to go now. He didn't lose it. He just hadn't got to it yet. You see, joy is the focus on the eternal during the negative temporary. Joy is... Well, let me get to it. In Psalm 43, God is telling someone about joy who is having problems with an enemy. Look at verse 1. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Sounds like a Baptist preacher in America today. Having to fight the government, like Jefferson County. You see, the enemy was attacking, but God said, I love this, look at verse number 4. Then will I go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Wow. God says that he wanted him to have joy in spite of the opposition. Not only did he want him to have joy, but he wanted him to have exceeding joy. You see, joy is not the absence of a battle, opposition, negative, pain, or grief. Joy is only able to be used because of the presence of opposition. If there is no opposition, if there is no grief, if there is no pain, there is no joy, it's just happiness. I'm for being happy. But can I tell you something? I'd rather you have joy than happiness. Anybody can be happy. The world can be happy. Only a Christian can have joy. I'm not talking about positive mental attitude. Those people are weird.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Those people live in the hokey pokey, hocus pocus stuff, you know. Whew. You know, do 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 do. Twilight Zone. I'm not talking about, well, I just think it's so God's going to do this for me. Barf.
Told you, we're going to be right down where the kids are right today. Even Brother Joe can understand it, amen? Now, listen to me. Joy is not the absence of all the negative things. Joy is not the absence of sin. Joy is the presence of happiness in spite of sin. If you're bitter with somebody, you have no joy. If you won't forgive someone, you have no joy. If you're holding a grudge against somebody, you have no joy. You only have happiness. Today, I want to show you how to have exceeding joy. I'm not going to show you how to be happy. You know how to do that. I cannot control the happenings. But we can control what's on the inside and our character by God, because he said that you can have exceeding joy. God does not command you to do something he does not give you the ability to do. Well, I just can't do that, preacher. Yes, you can. You won't character yourself to do it. Don't blame God for your nastiness. How about you get right with God? Notice where it happened. It said, I will go unto the altar of God. Well, that's just not me. Then get on your face before God and get it right.
Amen.
Number one, told you I was going to preach. Joy cannot be used unless opposition is present. We saw in Psalm 43, verse number 1, there was opposition because of what was going on. Take your Bible, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let me show you something. I'm going to use God's words and let God tell you what God said, not what the preacher says. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Hurry, 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 hurry. I got a lot to say. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, look at verse number 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. Watch this. I am filled with comfort. I am exceedingly joyful in all our tribulation. If you need comfort, guess what? You're in a bad situation. If you're in tribulation is not a good word. That means testing or trial. If you're going to court, you need help. If you're going through a battle and a test, you know, final exams are not fun. Tests at work are not fun. And when you're going through those trials, those tribulations, those tests, God says right here, I am exceeding joyful in those times. It doesn't say I'm joyful, I'm happy in those things. It says I am exceeding joyful. Now listen to me. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4. It's right after the book of Hebrews and James. 1 Peter chapter 4, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, but rejoice. You know what the word rejoice means? It says rejoice. Joy again. Inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad, that's happy, also with exceeding joy. How do we get that? By going through the sufferings of Christ. Suffering is not positive. In other words, you get that exceeding joy by exceeding sorrow. Everybody doing okay? Look at Jude, just a few books over, right before the book of Revelation, one page before.
There's only one chapter, so we're going to go to verse 24. Jude, verse 24. Hang on here. I'm on the wrong page. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Falling is not fun. Being faultless means somebody has accused you of doing wrong. So you've been falsely accused and they're trying to get you to fall. Does that sound like positive?
No.
But God says, "I'll be able to keep you from that with exceeding joy."
Amen.
You never find joy associated with positive things. The greater the opposition, the more joy you can have. Let me say that again. The more opposition you have, the greater joy that you can have. Why don't we use the greatest illustration there is? Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2, don't take time to turn there, that for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus showed joy going through Calvary.
Amen.
He wasn't excited about dying. He wasn't, "Oh, goody, I get to die. Oh, goody, they're going to rip my beard out by the handful." No, I'm not doing it.
Yeah, thank you.
No, I'm not happy that they beat a crown of thorns into my head. Oh, goody, 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 they're going to nail my hands and my feet. That's garbage. But in spite of doing all those things, Jesus Christ had joy at Calvary. Why? Because he knew he was going to restore God and man. He knew that the penalty for man's sin was cared for. He knew people were going to be able to get saved. He knew those that had already trusted what he did do or was going to do were going to be secure forever. He had everything to go for. In spite of the opposition, he had joy. Who, for the joy that was set before him? Look at all the negative he had to go through. You see, he was focused on the resurrection. He was looking past Calvary. Joy looks past the happening of Calvary to get to the joy of resurrection. You need opposition, or it would only be happiness. Joy is only joy when there's opposition. Number two, joy is not focusing on the circumstance. It's focusing on the eternal. Joy is not focusing on the happening. It's focusing on an eternal thing. Can I tell you something? Our flesh only sees what's happening right now. Our flesh says, "Oh, this person hurt me. I'm so hurt. I'm never going to be the same. Oh, come here. Let me burp you. Let's change your diaper." Somebody else is. I'm not changing it. Can I tell you something? Too many of us in our flesh, we only see what's going on right now. We don't see the joy that is set before us to get through this on the other side. And when you focus on the circumstance, you have no joy. "Well, this person did something to me, and I don't think I could ever really fully forgive them." You are focused on the circumstance, and you have lost your joy. I don't care who it was, a husband, a wife, a mom, a dad, a child, doesn't matter who it is, doesn't matter if it's a man of God, they may have done something to you, wrong, sinful, but they don't have the ability to steal your joy. You just gave it up to them. Everybody doing all right?
Amen.
The joy is focusing on spiritual or eternal things. It's not looking at what happened to you. I had somebody this week, they said, "Preacher, I just learned something about your past." And they said, "We didn't realize you had gone through such and so. How can you stay so positive? Because I don't look at such and so." I looked way past that. I had somebody say, well, you have people that hate you. No kidding. Can I tell you something? Till I take my dying breath, people are going to hate me because I'm fighting the devil. Did you know the devil and I are after the same sheep? And every time I get one and he doesn't, he's mad. He's a wolf, though, and I'm a shepherd. He's trying to consume you. I'm trying to protect you. Anybody doing all right? You see, we're after the same sheep. That's why he gets so upset. That's why I don't let what happens around me get me down. I knew attendance would be horrible this morning. Do I look like I'm depressed? Nope. Am I preaching depressed? Nope. Am I going to sit down on a chair and say, well, since we don't have very many people today, let's just do thus and so. No, I've got a backbone because I've got a God. God gave me what he wanted today. It's time to preach it, whether they're here or not. Amen. I can't control the circumstance, but I can give you joy. Everybody doing all right? Amen. Man, I'm having so much fun. Brother Mike, glory, I'm about to have a spell. This is why the lost world has no joy. They have no ability to focus on the eternal because they have a dead spirit. A lost person is body and soul. That's temporary. A saved person has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Why do Christians want to act like a lost person and not have joy? Everybody doing all right? When you're so consumed with what's happened to you, you're acting like a lost person. A lost person does not have a spirit that communicates with God. And when you quit communicating with the eternal, you're focused on the temporary. I don't care how bad somebody hurt you. Guess what? You can still have joy. I have friends that have stabbed me in the back. I have friends that have changed direction and quit preaching what I preach today. I have men that taught me in college that have gone against everything they used to preach about. I've known some of these men 30, 35 years. If I allowed it to get me down, it's because I'm focusing on them and not the message that I preach. Amen. We're still seeing people get saved every week. We're still seeing lives change. We're still seeing God help us build a church building so we can fill her up. I'm not singing the song, Fill My Cup. I'm singing the song, Fill My Building. Let it run over. Not with water, with people. Fill my building, Lord. I lift it up, Lord. Hey, our job is to fill that thing up, not complain about the idiots who want to complain about it. Amen. Quit focusing on them. Let's focus on going out and getting another one. Let's go take the sheep out of the wolf's mouth and spare the sheep. We're after the same prey. Well, I don't think you should do that. That's called proselyte. If you ain't got enough backbone to keep your church open, shut up. Happiness sees the cancer and runs away because it's negative. Joy sees the cancer and focuses on heaven and how good God is. I watched a precious saint of God, Marlene Evans, fight cancer for 16 years. Marlene Evans wrote 2 or 3 books about facing cancer, and she battled it many times. She wrote a book called Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend. Marlene Evans reached more people because of her cancer than she would have had she not had it. Wait a minute, she wasn't happy she had cancer. But she didn't let cancer rob her joy. When I first went to Bible college, she was going through chemo. And you had to know Marlene Evans. Marlene Evans is like Marsha on steroids. I mean, she was just all the time. And God love her. She was one of the sweetest people in the world. But it was like, okay, slow down. I went to class the first, I had to take general psychology, Mrs. Evans. And she was so weak she couldn't stand up to teach. They'd bring a chair in and she'd sit down to teach. class of about 300 or 400. And she said, "You need to learn to lose yourself." And everybody's like, she said, "You need to be willing to embarrass yourself." And she reaches up and pulls her wig off. And she's slick bald, buddy. And everybody's going, she said, "Go ahead, laugh. It's funny." She learned how to take things. She never lost her joy. By the way, thank God for Marlene Evans. Because the year that I met my wife, she just about didn't come back to Bible college because of some situations back home. Marlene Evans picked up the phone and called her and said, "Debbie, you need to be back in college. Please come back." And 6 weeks later, we had our first date. None of us knew that. But thank God there was a lady fighting cancer that cared about one little college girl that might not come back. Took enough time to pick a phone up and call. God's used her to help me have one of the most wonderful ministries anybody's ever seen. Whew. Can I tell you something? She had joy. She wasn't happy. I remember when Marlene was dying. There was no hope. We visited her some. I remember the day she died. She still had joy. She was telling everybody, "Don't you cry for me. I don't want anybody crying." Mrs. Evans, she was nuts. She'd take a group of college girls to a place called Pipes and Pizza. She got kicked out. She got kicked out from Bible college because she was up on the table, running around on the tables with cancer. I told you, she's like Marsha on steroids. Now, wait a minute. Can I tell you something? She didn't have happiness, but she had joy. Too many people, you get the news and you're depressed and you're going to hate God for it. She went and wrote a book and helped thousands and thousands and thousands of people. "Cancer, My Enemy, My Friend." Everybody doing all right? Same people, same cancer. One runs and complains about it to God and cries about it. The other one has joy. Same cancer. Say, what is it? One has joy, one does not. Happiness sees death and gets depressed. Joy sees the separation is only temporary and sees the joy that goes with it. I didn't say you're happy about putting someone in the earth because they've passed, but it's only temporary. Preacher, you've sat with me with, I was thinking of Wiley this morning, the death of his mama, and I was thinking about Sherry and the death of her brother and others in here that have faced deaths. I remember winning your brother to the Lord. Wait a minute. He didn't get saved much too long before he went to heaven. But guess what? When he did pass, we had the assurance to know where he's going. And we're not happy that he's gone, but we can have joy. Wiley, I don't have happiness that your mama passed, but I got joy that I'm going to get to see her again someday. I remember baptizing her. And Wiley's mom, she wasn't always the easiest person to get along with. You didn't know that. But boy, when she got saved, she got happy. She got joy. After she got baptized, she said, "That was so good. Can I do that again?" That was great. Now, wait a minute. Happiness sees a financial reversal and runs and hides and gets mad at God. Joy sees the long road ahead of it, but they see what could happen if they get down that long road. There's a couple in this church, I'd never tell you who it was. A few years ago, they literally filed bankruptcy. They said, "Preacher, what do we do?" I said, "You're going to lose your house if you're not careful." A few years later, they did everything I told them to do. We did it biblically. We got through this thing. Guess what? They're done. You'd never know who it is. If I told you, you'd say, "No way." Yeah, way. Say, what was that? They had joy. They didn't have happiness, but they had joy. They saw the joy that was set before them, endured the pain, and got through it. Now they're happy. Boy, that's good stuff. Happiness sees a grown child break their heart and complains about it the rest of their life. But joy sees a class full of Sunday school kids or teens. It says, mine didn't turn out right, but maybe I can help one to turn out right. Everybody doing all right? Yours might not have turned out so well. Guess what? There's a whole bunch more coming that we need to train. And by the way, not your fault they turned out bad. They made their choice. It wasn't your choice. You brought them up. Well, if I had done this bad, everybody can look back and think they did better. But guess what? You can't. God's given to every man the choice. Quit blaming yourself. God only had one perfect out of how many billion? What chance do you have? But you can invest what you do know to help somebody else. I remember when our son had kind of turned on God and going the wrong direction. Bad, it was looking real bad. I had people wanting me to resign. Said, you shouldn't be a preacher because you got a kid that's not living right. That's the stupidest thing I ever saw or ever heard. I remember getting up every day and saying, God, mine's not living right, but I'm going to try to help somebody else's live right. God, my heart's broke. And I'll do everything I can to prevent some other parent to go through this. I'll give it everything I know. And when one does, you bring them to me and I'll teach that parent how to hurt and invest. Because I'm not going to lose my joy. Joy is not happy about the opposition. Joy is not happy about the negative circumstance. But it has exceeding joy in spite of the opposition and the negative. Everybody understand that? Number three, and I'm done. Don't put your shoes on yet. What can joy focus on when the circumstances are rough? I told you, don't put your shoes on yet. Arlene, please put yours on because of what you stepped in before you got here. All right? Now listen to me. What can joy focus on when the circumstances are negative or opposing? Let me teach you some things. That book's perfect. It's holy. It's infallible. And it's never changing. And it's inspired. And it's exactly the way it was in heaven before the world was created. Amen. Word for word. The King James Bible. It's not just inspired in its original language. God is the eternal I am. He's not the I was. Did you know that when bad circumstances come, you can thank God we have the Word of God?
Amen. Yes,
sir. They are the words of life. They are the words of God's own mouth and sometimes His own finger that He wrote with. It is the guidebook for life. It never changes, it never will change, and it still works just like it did when it was given.
Amen.
Did you know when things are bad, run to the Word of God and thank God for the Word of God and focus on the Word of God?
Amen.
Try preaching funerals for somebody you don't know. Man, it's work. But for some reason, God allows me to do that, and we see a bunch of people get saved. Preached one for my neighbor just a week or so ago, and we have 15 people saved. Say, what was that? I ran to the Word of God and said, God, help me. I had a bunch of brand new people that just got saved at the funeral walk up, Catholic people. Boy, that was good. Man, did you nail him? No, I didn't. God did. See, the Word of God never changes. Doesn't matter what the circumstance is, you'll find it in the Bible, and He'll teach you how to get through it.
Yes, sir.
Boy, that's good stuff. Can I tell you something? According to Psalm 43, verse 5, the text that we read, God never changes.
That's right.
Matter of fact, God said, I will be your exceeding joy. It says, in God, my exceeding joy. Did you know Jehovah God is the same?
That's right.
His name is not Allah. His name is not Buddha. His name is not Muhammad. His name is not whatever. His name is definitely not Hillary. Can I tell you something? His name is not Nancy or Chucky. God never changes. God never lies. Did you know it doesn't matter how bad it gets, it can't get any worse than it is down here, because everything from here is up, called heaven.
That's right.
Did you know God's always there? God doesn't go to sleep?
That's right.
Thank God. Did you know God never goes on vacation to leave you by yourself?
Thank
you. Do you know God's line's never busy? Do you know God's phone doesn't go to voicemail? You can have the confidence in knowing when you talk to him, he heard you. Now listen to me very carefully. God doesn't change. That's something when the opposition comes, you don't have to question him, trust him. When the opposition comes, run to the word of God. These are his words. If he doesn't change, his word won't change. Number next, truth never changes. Did you know the sun comes up in the east and sets in the west, and that's never going to change? Do you know 2 + 2 = 4, and that won't change? Don't care what the public education tells you. Did you know truth never changes, no matter what Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer say?
That's right.
Well, we don't like those facts. Those aren't real facts. Those aren't facts. The media can't change facts. Educators cannot change facts. Religious leaders cannot change facts. I don't care if they tell you you came from a monkey. You didn't come from a monkey.
Thank God. Amen.
I don't care if they tell you that the earth is going to burn up because we're emitting too much carbon. Folks, if that were the case, the plants would overtake the earth.
That's right.
They breathe carbon, and you ought to thank God for carbon, because they change carbon into oxygen, and the less plants you have, the less oxygen you have to breathe.
That's right. Amen.
They work hand in hand.
Right.
Do you know that the earth is less than 0.02 of a degree different than it was 1,000 years ago?
Don't tell them that.
I don't care what the educators say. These are the people that believe that you came from a monkey, and you want to believe what they're teaching your kids? These are the ones wanting to rewrite history so they can be the aggressors in history future. So truth never changes. The Bible never changes. God never changes. Next, salvation never changes.
Amen.
I'm about to come unscrewed, Brother Larry. My name is written in heaven. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Beside my name, Brother Mike, is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Every sin I have has been washed away. It's not recorded. Not only that, even though I've been condemned, found guilty, and deserved death, Jesus stood in my place and put his righteousness there. And when God sees my record, he sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Hey, I'll never be facing my sin. God's not going to put everything wrong I did on a movie screen in heaven. Don't care what Jack Van Empe said. You're not going to sit in heaven and see all the wrong that everybody did. Everybody's not going to say, well, we're going to see that Joe Lopez did this, but he did it in the flesh. He didn't do it in the spirit, so he doesn't get a reward for that. That is for God alone, not for you and me.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
Did you know heaven has gates of pearl? Each gate, 12 gates, they are one giant pearl. By the way, a gate goes against a wall. And the walls of heaven are there to protect what's inside. Just like we should have for the United States border.
Amen.
Hell is the only place with no border.
That's right.
Hell has no walls. Hell has no gates. And the one gate that is there is open because Jesus unlocked it when he came up. Sounds like what the liberals want to do with America. Make it like hell. Friends and loved ones will be there. Did you know you're going to see your grandparents again? Do you know I'm going to get to see my grandparents again? I'm going to get to see Brother Hiles again. I'm going to get to see my friend Brother Rick Walter again. I'm going to get to see thousands that I know that are there. Sherry, you're going to get to see your brother again. Brother Larry, you're going to get to build another project with him up there. I don't know if it's going to be tile or stone, but it's going to be there. And I promise you this, you're never going to have to measure twice. It'll be perfect. Can I tell you something? Wiley, going to see your mama again. Can I tell you something? Dad, you're going to see grandma again. I'm going to hear her say, Boots, come here. Can I tell you something? Heaven's going to be a great place. Did you know the devil can't take heaven away? Did you know you can't lose your ticket to heaven? It was paid for in full by somebody else. You didn't pay for it. You just accepted it. And even if you think you lost your copy, God didn't. Hey, when the attack comes, well, somebody's threatened me. Oh, well, if they killed you, guess what? You're going to heaven. Some of our men on the board know this. I've received letters that had to go to the FBI and Homeland Security by people. They were that vicious. Say, preacher, are you worried? No. Not at all. Say, why? As Dr. Rice said, when somebody wanted to hold him up, he was on the streets of Chicago one day. A guy walked up and pointed a gun right in his belly and said, give me your wallet or I'm going to blow your brains out. Dr. Rice calmly took his glasses off and said, my brains aren't in my stomach, and you can't threaten me with heaven. And the guy was so shocked he didn't know what to do, and John Rice opened his Bible and showed that man how to get saved, and the guy put the gun away and trusted Christ there on the sidewalk. But I love what he said. You can't threaten me with heaven. Folks, God wants you to have joy. Listen to this. God wants you to have exceeding joy. Not just joy. He doesn't want you just to rejoice. He wants you to have exceeding joy. That means you will never know joy as long as all the circumstances go well. As long as you're happy, you'll never know what joy is. Exceeding joy comes because of exceeding opposition. Let's quit our crying. Let's quit our whining. Let's quit our belly aching. Let's quit our depression. Let's quit our bitterness. Let's reach deep inside and find the joy that's there and available to each and every one of us.
Amen.
Joy can exceed the opposition. I didn't say it. God did. I didn't say you'd never have opposition and heartache. I didn't say you're going to be happy about the situation. But you can jump up and down with joy because there is something to have joy about.
Amen.
Quit focusing on the negative and the opposition. Let's get to the joy that'll exceed that opposition and that problem. Say, where am I going to find it? Well, God said in Psalm 43 at the altar. It's between you and God. It's between you and God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm done. I wonder, have you lost your joy? Have you lost your joy? Have you only sought happiness and not joy? Have you gotten bitter at God because you only wanted happiness and you didn't ever really have great joy? Oh, by the way, the angels came in Matthew and said there shall be great joy to all people. But look what we had to endure to get to the joy. I wonder who'd say, preacher, that sermon was for me today. I needed that. Would you raise your hand? Oh, my soul. Almost virtually every hand, you may put them down. In a moment, we'll stand. When we stand, the piano begins to play. When the piano begins to play, many of you ought to come to the altar. Come as far as you can. Turn around your seat and use your chair as an altar. But how about you reach deep inside and find that joy that God has for you?